Okay. Good evening, folks. This is a meeting of the Strategic Planning Committee of the Pacifica National Board. It is 8:40 p.m. Eastern Time, and it is November 8th, 2021. My name is Alex Steinberg. I'm the chair of this committee. And does somebody want to volunteer to be secretary for the evening, since we don't have a permanent secretary on this committee? No? Come on, somebody do this.
Julie, I can do it.
Julie, that would be great. Let me see. Do you have a list of the members of the committee? So you can call the roll. If you don't, I will do it.
Yeah, I don't have one handy. I wasn't thinking that far ahead. Sorry.
Okay, let me I can't seem to hold on. I gotta get to my list. Give me a minute.
Oh, you know what? I've got mine up now.
You do.
You want me to go ahead and do it then?
Yeah.
Chris Corey. All right, Lyndon Foley.
Here.
Heather Gray.
Here.
Julie Hewitt, I'm here. James Sagerton.
Here.
Great. Sorry, I skipped over Sandra Rawline. All right, Alex Steinberg.
I'm here.
Polina Vasilyev. Beth Von.
Here. But
all right.
You went silent.
All right. So, do I have Chris Corey? Sandra Rawline? No. So it sounds like it's just the six of us. Is there anybody that I didn't identify?
Well, Lydia Brazon and Anita Sims.
Oh, I called Anita the first time, but.
Oh.
Anita is on use it or lose it vacation.
Oh, okay. She's still on vacation. Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
Lydia has not made it to most of these meetings, so I don't expect her. Okay, well, in any case, we have a quorum, so we could start. So I sent out a very brief draft agenda, and let me read it. Number one, convene meeting and take attendance. We just did that. That was a 3-minute item. Then set agenda. Number three, nominations for secretary. We kind of did that. item number four, minutes of the last meeting. I don't think we have them. That's something, by the way, I wanted to discuss. We have to get these minutes out. Number five, discussion of the bond proposal. I was hoping Chris would be here for that because he had some news about that. Number six, discussion of the NFT proposal, that's non-fungible tokens that we've been discussing for a while. And number seven, discussion of podcasting. That's a 20-minute item because we've actually, there's been some advance in that area, independently of this committee, I might add, but it's something the committee could leverage, and that's when we get to that item, I want to include the couple of people from WBAI who've been working on this. Number eight, emergency preparedness. Number nine, National Advisory Board. And after that, I think we can adjourn. So can I get a motion to approve the draft agenda?
So moved.
Okay, does anybody?
I'll second. This is Heather, I'm seconding.
Don't need a second in a committee.
Okay, that's all right.
This is more informal than the board.
Okay.
But does anybody have any amendments or anything, any changes they want to make to the draft agenda? Okay, then the draft agenda is approved.
I do have a question, Chair. James?
Hold on, I'm getting a call. Why don't you voice your question while I take this call?
It was to ask if...
No, no, don't do it from your car. We'll wait for you. We're not going to get to you for another 15, 20 minutes. Don't worry about it.
20 minutes? Okay, 25 minutes.
Okay, I got it, but I haven't looked.
She broke down what we're doing and what it means to...
Okay, I'm chairing the meeting, so I can't talk now.
Okay.
Bye. Okay, James, what's your question?
That was my question.
Yes, I was planning to have Bertold Reimer, the general manager of WBAI, on the call to describe what's been happening with the podcast initiative. Also somebody else who's a volunteer at WBAI who's been closely involved in it. I don't know if will I be able to reach her in time or not.
Bertold called me while roll was being taken, and I just was going to ask if you wanted me to call him back. So it's all good.
He's driving. He'll be at the station in a little while. By the time we get to the point on the agenda, probably, or not. Okay. So can somebody call Chris Corey?
I can do that.
See if you can get him on a meeting.
I'll do that.
Okay. Until we get Chris, why don't we discuss the NFT proposal? We had some preliminary discussions about this, and if you recall, we were going to do like a beta test of one item that I knew about, but I had a lot of trouble getting somebody who was going to basically give us the confirmation of the authenticity. It's a photograph by Richard Avedon, very, very well-known iconic photographer of the WBAI staff about 40 or 50 years ago. It's a remarkable photo, and a digital copy of that could be pretty impressive, but I have not been able to get a hold of the person who can give us the authenticity of this photo. So I don't think we can go forward unless that happens. But we did. We also had a preliminary discussion, if you recall, with the with Mark Torres of the Pacifica Archives, and I kind of think maybe that's where we should be looking right now, is to get something implemented through the Pacifica Archives, at least some kind of a test issue. But I haven't had a chance to speak to Mark in a while, but I think we gotta, you know, pursue it in that area. Does anybody want to have any comments about that?
Alice, this is Heather.
Linden.
I completely. Okay, sorry, Linden.
Go ahead, Heather.
No, I just agree with you. I mean, the resources, the Pacifica Archives, are absolutely incredible. I don't know where you were going with that, Alex, but I think we should absolutely do what we can to promote it, to share with people, what's available on the archives. It's just wonderful.
Well, I think it's a potential gold mine, frankly. I just think
we have
to find the right resources that can. Well, there's other ways to market it than the than an NFT, but I think an NFT would be a pretty interesting experiment to see if that would work. Anyway, Lyndon, what do you?
Well, can I just say something else, if you don't mind? As far as the archives are concerned, I think, of course, I've thought forever about promoting them more, but also it should be promoted a lot in academic institutions. Also, they should know about this. If they don't already, I think we should definitely work on all these various aspects. So, pardon me, Lyndon.
No problem. Alex, I was just going to say that I requested some material from the archivist, and he said he would send it, but he did not. And at this point, his reluctance to cooperate, I think, has hindered our going forward, because I wanted to see just what I requested, maybe four different items, because I wanted to listen to them or, you know, see what we had. And so far, that hasn't happened. And that's about the end of that story. So it's kind of died on the vine.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't assume that Mr. Torres is not willing to cooperate. I think he's probably just caught up in a lot of stuff. Personally, I think the stumbling block seems to be that we need somebody who really knows how to do this to drive this. And that may mean maybe we should hire somebody to do this. Because, I mean,
the alternative is to, you know, take it upon ourselves and get some experience.
That's true. But then we'd have to, we're all amateurs. It doesn't mean amateurs can't learn and do it. But somebody would have to be willing to devote a hell of a lot of time and effort to learn how to do this and drive the project. The other alternative is to hire somebody who has a track record, successful track record, and can do this for us. And it might be worth it. I think it probably would be. I'm open to suggestions. That's just my thinking on it.
Well, I would be hired as well. Sorry, who was that?
That would be another way of going about it. And like I've always thought, like Heather said, and like you think, it's a treasure trove of material, and so that would be one way to get it. I agree.
Which doesn't mean there's no work involved, even if we hire someone. First of all, we have to find the right person.
Right.
So even that involves some work. How do you find an expert in creating NFTs? I guess you have to go to some place that's already done it and see who's available there and what kind of terms they would offer. And then if we find such a person, we could bring it to the board and say to the board, we think there's a little bit of risk in this, but we think the reward is greatly outweighs the risk. The risk is we'll spend money and get very little in return. That's the risk. It's not but the potential reward is tremendous if we can get this working.
I think we should try. Alice, could I mention one other thing?
Yeah, go ahead.
I just want to mention to you all that, you know, here in Atlanta, W.E.B. Du Bois used to teach at Clark Atlanta University in the early part of the 1900s. But I need to say that when I was looking through the archives once, I found this speech that Du Bois gave in Los Angeles in 1953 that some Pacifica folks had made sure was recorded. I managed to get access to that. It's just a treasure trove. I mean, I was just so incredibly impressed. So not only with the archives, but with the fact that the Pacifica folks made sure that it was recorded. So good for them. So I really do think that, I don't know, Alex, exactly what you were saying about reaching out to NFT, but I think there might be some academic institutions that we could get involved in the process as well somehow. I don't know how exactly, but I think we could probably in some way. That might or might not be helpful.
This is Julie, if I might. Maybe Julie. One way to get an academic institution involved would be to find, you know, a university where somebody teaches a course on NFTs, right, or copyright law or something like that, and, you know, see if there's not a professor who would be willing to, you know, have a student do an internship project where it would be something, you know, the internship would basically be helping us out, their practicum, right? And the trick there would be identifying a professor who'd be willing to, you know, collaborate in that way. Experience for them, you know, a roadmap for us.
Yeah, sounds interesting.
Sounds like an idea. Lyndon, what is your thinking on this?
Oh, I think those are all, you know, good ideas. I had contacted some guy up at a university in California just because he was a naysayer. Well, I contacted him, but he never, you know, returned my entreaty. So, yeah, we just have to get a couple of people. I'm going to be gone here in a couple of months, so it's going to be up to y'all to carry this forward.
This is Beth. If I could, if I may speak. I'm not prepared to carry it forward myself, but I would like to offer the forum of the development task force as a way to track the development of the idea over time and give us a way to help keep it visible and moving forward and continuing to get sufficient attention to see to it that it doesn't.
Well, you could do that. We can also, if the next PNB sees fit to do it, there's no reason they can't continue the strategic planning committee and just continue with the work we're doing. I will try to convince them of that. I won't be here either after January. I think we've been doing some useful work, certainly in terms of developing ideas, although very few of those ideas have come to fruition in terms of new revenue. This is obvious. But I think they're still, you know, they're still there.
A comment, Chair?
Yeah. What is it,
Jay? The task force that Beth just mentioned, the development task force, is open to members regardless of PMB or LSB status. So people could continue to work there on these ideas and probably could give things a great extra boost if they did so.
True. It's a good idea.
May I make an additional comment?
Yeah.
And by the way, I did reach out to Chris. I don't see a response yet.
Okay.
I think some will recall that Mark Torres expressed some reluctance around the copyright issue. So if we could get more information, I seem to recall that we left it out. We needed to get some professional legal opinions about the copyright issues. And, you know, we were assuming that NFTs would not have any copyright consequences, but he wasn't convinced of that. If we could get some information on that subject. It might get his interest.
Well, I mean, all I can tell you is that from other NFTs I've heard about, there have been no copyright issues. I mean, artists create NFTs of paintings, for instance, of videos, and the actual original video or whatever is still copyrighted. It doesn't infringe on the copyright issue at all.
Yeah, we had those conversations when he was on the call, but he brought up some counterpoints, and you know, he was not satisfied that we were correct and had all the information. He also seemed to think that there was some question about who actually owned the negatives for that photograph, and there might have been some issue about that.
Well, we don't have to spend a lot of time on that photograph. That was just...
Yeah, I understand.
That was just an idea I had for something we could test quickly, but it sounded like it got a little too complicated to be quick. But
yeah, I was mostly responding to Lyndon's comment that, you know, this seems to be left high and dry, and I agree with that, because we've been distracted by other things for a while. But in addition to our distraction, he was requesting additional information or some legal advice about going a little deeper into these things, and he might still be expecting that before he goes forward.
Well,
I don't know.
I mean, we could certainly get legal advice if we had some specific questions. Yeah, but we need some specifics to go to an attorney.
Right.
And we'd have to find the right, you know, obviously this would be a very specialized area of the law. So we'd have to find somebody who specializes in this area.
Maybe if there's such a thing, they would know who's doing this that we might be able to talk to about helping us with it as well.
This is Julie. One of the things I recall from the archivist was that he was concerned that they were, as in the archives, was about to apply for some grants and didn't want, you know, the possibility of us selling an NFT to somehow negatively affect the grant application. And so I wonder if enough time has now passed that's no longer an issue.
I think he's actually working with the Library of Congress on a current grant, you know, digitizing and trying to restore, preserve the old magnetic tapes. Yeah, I do recall
well,
that.
I mean,
it's really great.
There may be some issues there. I'm not saying there definitely aren't, but I just don't think we're in a position to make any kind of judgment about it until we know a lot more.
So why don't we reinitiate a contact with Mark, and maybe he can give us some of the questions that he has, and that could give us a start.
Sounds like an idea.
Sounds like a good idea. This is Lyndon again. I remember sending out something from the, is it Cardoza School, Law School?
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't the law professors, I don't believe, but it was whatever journalism or legal scholars they have there, and saying that there was no copyright problem. But yeah, he was not convinced at all. So that, and as James said, him applying for something is what put him off. But I think if we go at this again, yeah, we need to talk to him first thing.
Well, I think we have to pursue it, just because he was put off because he has an impression that there's a problem doesn't mean that there is a problem. It doesn't mean there isn't either, of course, but I think we just have to get to the bottom of this.
Right. I think that's what everybody is agreeing to.
So how about if I, as chair, contact him and ask him what specific questions he asks he has, and that we will we'll get an attorney's opinion on them. Because we still want to proceed with this.
Yep.
Sounds good.
Okay. Then I'll do that.
I was afraid suggesting that we do it might be construed as a volunteering to do that. So I'm glad you you took that up, Alex.
Well, I mean, if somebody else wants to do it, I'll be happy to let them do it. Okay. I'm waiting to hear from Berthold on the podcasting. I sent you all, by the way, check your email. I sent you a document on the what's happening with that, the podcasting thing, so you might take a look at that in the meantime. But while we're waiting, maybe we could... Beth, do you have anything you can tell us about the emergency preparedness thing?
Sure, I can talk about that. I don't have any further formal progress to report, but I have been talking with people. I've only recently made direct contact with John Amala on other issues, but this the issue of emergency preparedness came up in the course of that conversation. Otis was also on the line at the time, and they were both thrilled to hear that we're looking into this, and I think I would have their cooperation to put together a more comprehensive sort of a program. So I've been talking with others at other stations too. And so by next meeting, I'll be bringing forth a motion of some kind proposing probably a task force to take on the responsibilities of standing up a formal emergency response or emergency preparedness initiative to bring Pacifica into compliance with current law, and then more than that to assure that we are indeed prepared to, and robustly so, for whatever's coming next. It's clear that the nature of disasters is becoming, you know, more intense, more frequent, more extreme, and that the population will be looking to critical infrastructure in the way of
Yeah, I would say we've had some experience with disasters in Pacifica.
Exactly.
We had in New York, we had Hurricane Sandy in 2011, and WBR studios were completely we had to leave permanently.
Right, right.
The building was completely, you know, it was a mess. The water came up to the third floor in that building.
Wow. And if I may ask, were you able to access any sort of FEMA recovery money in the aftermath of that?
I think we did get something. It wasn't a lot, though. I don't remember the details. Do you, James?
No, we didn't own the building, so it was just our equipment that was damaged. Our equipment was in the basement. It was completely submerged. I don't think the water reached the third floor. I think it reached the ceiling of the first floor. Does that sound right?
Okay. Well, it was something. It was, yeah.
It was underwater. The building was under the first, you know, that was serious. I was on Wall Street.
Is there anything like an after-action report on that, an account, a written account of that history?
We had We had a skeleton crew that was literally trapped there for like 3 days before they could get out.
I want that history. If there's not a written history, it would be worth tracking down anybody we can who was there and getting like an oral history of that episode. But that's the kind of thing, if we're more prepared, we're more qualified for more recovery money.
I know Chris Quarry had he lost his house to one of the fires in California a few years ago, right?
Yeah. And hour by hour last year as the Bobcat fire was encroaching on Mount Wilson and our transmitter there. And that's the preeminent broadcast point in those mountains. So there's $1 billion worth of not just our equipment, but all the biggest high-end equipment in the Los Angeles area. They all broadcast from that peak. I'm going to get Stuart Landau to, I don't know what kind of account he's put together, but now that I'm in closer touch with him, I'm going to see to it that we get a good history of that. I was watching hour by hour on the internet. There are a few ways to do that. But he has much more firsthand account of that. And there, because there's so much there, that the county and all the other state agencies just threw everything they had behind defending that one ridge, so that whatever else burned all the way up to it, that was very unlikely to go. It was amazing to see the resources they threw into it. And every time I watch one of these, I understand their processes a little better, and I get a better sense of what to expect next time and where the risks are. And mm-hmm. It's a thrill. So yeah, I will have a more formal proposal at the next meeting. And as long as we're on it, I'd like to address the issue of risk management too. It was considerations of emergency management that first led me to that, but also other things that I've been doing in other committee work. Essentially, lots and lots of it falls under the rubric of risk management. And I think the Pacifica needs a formal process of risk management, risk assessment, making more conscious decisions about recognizing where we're blundering into risk and where it's costing us in terms of liability and what we can do to prevent that in the future and how to sort of ratchet down the expense of it now. And so I've done some research on that. And I think it's partly just the way my mind seems to be wired. But I'm wondering if I dare ask, Julie, don't I remember that you're professionally engaged in the field of risk assessment, risk management. Is that true?
Not really. I'm an economist, so I understand risk, but it's not really what I do.
Okay. I thought I remembered some mention of benefit risk assessment, but that's okay. But if there's anyone else who would, I'll put together a proposal on this too. If there's anyone else who would like to put their heads together with me and think about it out loud and work on shaping this, I'll be doing that over the course of the next month. And please don't hesitate to be in touch.
I can try to get somebody who can give you an account of what happened during Hurricane Sandy at WBAI.
Thank you. Yes, I would love that. Send them my way.
And, we could also give you an account of what happened when 9/11 hit.
Excellent. Thank you.
Because our studios were in that that toxic cloud zone.
Yes. Yeah, that's Pacifica history. We need that. We need to document that.
Mm.
We need to document that. So thank you. Anything like that or anything that's happened at the other stations too, I would love to have an account of what happened in Houston with Hurricane Harvey. That had to have had an impact, and I have yet to hear about that.
Is James with a question?
Yes, James.
Beth, I'm hoping that you can put something in there. You mentioned what risk we're blundering into. We had some discussion of it at one of our PMB meetings, but it would be good if we could get some advance information on locations in Houston and which locations might be subject to, you know, 100-year, 500-year, 1,000-year storms, which seem to be occurring every couple of years these days somewhere around the country. You know, where would it be? Where would we be less susceptible to flooding and other issues in Houston as we relocate there?
Is it okay if I respond to that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you. I've been thinking along those lines already and checking out the maps and I spoke with Mo while he was down there about, you know, where the transmitter is and what the needs would be. And so that's exactly the kind of consideration that I would hope that a standing emergency management operation would take into account ahead of time so that it's factored into the decisions we make rather than just mitigating risks we've already blundered into. We could be proactive in preventing some of those risks and reducing our risk and expenditure into the future. So I really like that question. Thank you for the question. Excellent question.
Are there some official, like, government-approved guidelines for radio stations as far as risk management in terms of disaster?
I looked for that, and it was fascinating. The first several avenues I tried on the internet, it just seemed to lead to a dead end until finally I got something that led to a page on Wikipedia. It was the what did they call it? Corporate capture, I think is what they called it, where the agency that was tasked to do that, they were using that agency as an example, as a classic example of where an industry has captured the regulatory body that was supposed to regulate it. And so things evidently came to a halt back here a few years ago, and I haven't been able to find out yet what the industry is doing since then, and I suspect, you know, that individuals, stations or entities have pursued it on their own, but without standards to refer to. It's one of the things that will. It's an advantage that I have connections through the ham radio world because that's where I run into people who do that kind of thing as a day job. And also have emergency management is what brings us together into one room. So at least have a few places to go to have those conversations, and I shall in preparation for putting the proposal together for next month. That's my next step, is to talk to them and find out what has happened since it was brought to kind of a halt a few years ago, and how they've managed to proceed or what they can suggest. So I'm going to be looking for experienced professional input into that. And I'd like to see some sort of ongoing work group or something come out of this initiative so that it will have some way to proceed into the future, regardless of what happens with this committee. I'd like to see the committee continue too, but who knows whether I'll be on it. And so I'd like to stand up something that gives the initiative sort of legs of its own so that it can be carried forward regardless of what happens with this committee.
Yeah, makes sense.
So I'll bring forth something next month.
Okay, anybody else? So we haven't heard back from Bertold yet, so maybe we'll have to defer this matter until the next meeting. I did email everybody on the committee a document that kind of describing what they're doing right now. They've gotten pretty far along in the process of working out the ins and outs of podcasting and how we can monetize it. Basically, they've developed a contract for producers to sign on to, and it'll be
hello.
Did we lose Alex?
I don't know. I guess so.
I think we
Darn.
Have.
Oh.
Alex, did you mute yourself? I guess we're really going to postpone that part of the conversation, huh?
He meant it, huh? He meant it.
James.
Did you try to call him, James?
I just called Bertold. Did something else happen while I was gone?
We lost Alex somehow.
I thought that must be what you were talking about. I hope Alex will be right back. But Bertold is, Alex said earlier he was headed to the station. He actually was headed home, and he just is parking the car now. So in a few minutes, he'll be able to join us.
I'm going to get off and try to call Alex, everyone.
Hi there. I got knocked off.
Oh, yes, Alex. What happened, Alex? We lost you there.
Yeah, the machine I was on lost its juice, I guess. So.
Oh, okay. All right.
So I forget where we were.
While you were gone, I called Bertol, and he's parking the car. He'll be with us in a few minutes.
Okay, so let me say a few words about the other item I wanted to discuss, and that's the National Advisory Council. I've been talking about this a while, and I really think this would be a very positive thing for Pacifica. Even if it doesn't bring in any money, it would add prestige and give Pacifica a certain kind of brand, and it would really be very very beneficial if we could do this. There was some confusion initially because some people were thinking it's like a rival of the board of directors, and it's not. This kind of a group has no fiduciary responsibilities whatsoever, unlike a board of directors. It's simply a group of people who are there to help out volunteers. and the thing is getting the details of such a body worked out. That's the problem I ran into. I'm aware that I have this problem of trying to create these things out of my head, sometimes without getting advice from other people, and that's not a good way to go. So what I'd like to do is throw it in the committee's lap. How do you envision such a body? What rules would it have? How would we determine who to enroll in this? Should there be like a limit to the number of people? How would it work? That's what I want to work on. And if we can get that resolved, I would really like to take it to the board in the next few weeks and get it approved. So what do you all think?
This is Beth.
Yeah.
If I may. For me, anytime I start a project like that, about the first thing I do is to search the web for best practices for, in this case, it would be nonprofit advisory boards, because we are for sure not the first one to try to do this. There will be other people who've been down that road and will have stories to tell, and they will have developed policies directly in response to things that worked, things that didn't work so well, lessons learned, mistakes to avoid, that kind of thing. And so before I would,
Well, Beth, let me tell you, I've done that. I've looked on the internet, and I've not found anything that was specific enough to be useful. Maybe somebody could find something. I was not successful. And by the way, we should not, whatever else we do, we should not call it a board of any sort, because that creates lots of confusion. Just call it an advisory council or an advisory group or something. Just don't call it a board.
could I just interject on a different subject? I apologize. Chris Corey has advised that he was on a flight and wasn't able to notify us. And I guess now he's off the flight, but perhaps not yet, where he can join us.
All right. Well, if he can join us, he can join us. So, yeah. What can I say?
Yep. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
On the National Advisory Council, or whatever we want to call it, I have a possible name for us.
Yeah.
Alma Powell, the widow of Colin Powell. I don't know if you all heard this, but Colin Powell had a funeral on Thursday, Friday last week. I don't remember exactly which day it was, but Richard Armitage, who had worked with him for, 40 years and spoke to Colin Powell by phone, I think daily, gave a eulogy. And he pointed out that no matter what they were doing, every Saturday at 5 o'clock, he and Colin Powell would stop working and listen to WPFW, listen to the Caribbeana show that, his name just went to Von Martin hosts every Saturday afternoon. Wow. That it was because Colin Powell was, he was Jamaican American and really enjoyed reggae music. And so that was kind of one of his things. And I had heard at one point that he actually had donated money to WPFW at one point, or at least his name was in the, of course, I probably shouldn't be saying this out loud, but that his name was in the, donor rolls. And then, that as he became more prominent, that ceased. But then I also found something that noted that Alma Powell was once a radio show host herself. And so that just seems to me like, somebody who might be interested in serving on such a board.
Okay.
I mean, council.
Council, yes. Well, I think a lot of us could probably think of people that might want to serve on such a board. But let's figure out what, how the board would be constructed, what rules it should have, what would be its purpose, first of all. I mean, I think a good purpose is that it would be composed of members who are uniquely qualified to assist Pacifica in fulfilling its mission. I mean, something very broad like that, and then you could you don't have to be very narrow. You could pick almost anybody as long as there's a certain consensus that this is a person who could help us.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Well, it is, seems like there's one aspect of this thing that could be very good for public relations by getting some famous people on it and using it, you know, to promote things and to hold events that would be better attended or, you know, more successful if they had prominent people promoting them, which could also lead to, you know, possibly some donations from some prominent people. But then it seems like a lot of where your direction in this is would be to have it be a working group that contributed professional experience and abilities, you know, maybe in terms of lawyers and accountants or, you know, even doctors, you know, who might opine on our health programs. So are you intending it to be both a multifaceted thing, or is it mostly a PR thing, or is it mostly to help and actually assist, which I think is where you were headed?
It could be anything you want it to be, as long as it benefits Pacifica.
Alex, this is Heather. Could I jump in here for a moment as well?
Sure.
This is along the lines of something I mentioned to Alex and a few other folks at Pacifica. One of the things I've realized is that I think that one of the reasons that Pacifica is having its struggles right now is because of the rapidly changing technologies and the vast areas of communication and media and the internet and so forth, which is I think impacted community radio. But I think it's important that people all over the country and the world, in fact, understand the importance of what community radio is, what Pacifica is, and that it's representing the voice of the people. There's no other media entity like it. There's no other media entity that has that kind of mission and opportunity for people in the community to have a voice. So one of the things I was thinking that's important, it's along the lines of this committee, really, Alex, in some ways, is that I think we need to engage in some kind of educational process in all the various aspects of media, in magazines and newspapers, on the internet, and also, of course, on our own community radio stations. But the population needs to be educated about the history and really what we represent. So anyway, I just wanted to mention that. I know we could go on and on forever about that, but I just wanted to share that. I'm hoping that if we do create this council, it's not a board, right, Alex? You kept saying board or council, that would be one of the missions of it. So I just mentioned that. I appreciate other people's comments.
Yeah, these are all great ideas. So why don't you all think about it and come back at the next meeting with some concrete proposals. Okay, I just got notice that Berthold is ready to join us. Let's see.